This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Just under the crossbar, and that'll do it. 1-0 the final. Colorado Rapids in Commerce City, Colorado, defeat St. Louis City. Final score, 1-0.
What are you doing, the sad music?
That's a Masters, isn't
it? It has been. I think it is. City SC, they have not in an MLS game won since the game against
2020.
No, it was in March. It's been a while. Game against Seattle back in March. It's been a rough go for our soccer team. And you've heard our next guest on soccer coverage on KMOX here on the Soccer Reports, Nate Gatter. You've also heard him on this show before. He fills in quite a bit. Nate Gatter is with us on KMOX. How's it going, Nate?
It's all right, Chris. How are you?
So I don't think I'm okay. I don't think this is really a surprise. We've been talking about this possibility for a while now, that something was going to have to change. And other than that Open Cup game that they won a couple of weeks ago, against Omaha, they haven't won a game, and they're losing late leads, so something was wrong. Was it Olaf? Was he the problem?
I think it's hard to establish causality easily in any professional sport, but certainly Olaf has not been part of the solution, at the very least. And I think it's fair to say he's at least a part of the problem, if not the primary problem, considering things were getting worse under him rather than better, and he had been given quite a long leash in order to try to solve the issues that they were having. And, you know, obviously it's not a happy day anytime someone loses their job, especially, as you have often noted, Chris, someone so handsome as Olaf Melberg. But at the same time, I think it was time. And, you know, this is professional sports is a results business. He understood that when he got into this line of work and when he took this job, and he delivered terrible, terrible results for a relatively long stretch of time. And City, if they're going to save this season, needed to do something. And frankly, if they're going to save other people's jobs, they probably need solutions over the next few months, certainly going into next season, or we're going to start to see additional carnage.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm less acquainted with soccer than I am other professional sports. But is it a thing in soccer? Can you lose the clubhouse like a baseball manager can? Might that be something that was happening here?
You certainly can. And on top of that, I think as compared to most American sports, it's not unusual to have higher level of turnover. I mean, the typical MLS head coach is only going to last probably a couple of years. So City are not that far off that average. It hasn't been great, but for an expansion team, you know, I think saying that they're looking for their fourth head coach now already, or they're on their fourth head coach, is a little bit of an unnecessary exaggeration. The interims don't really count in my mind. Bradley Carnell lasted a year and a half, probably should have lasted longer. At the time, I felt like he was getting scapegoated for a variety of issues, chiefly the lack of spending to flesh out the rest of the roster. And I think there's some evidence to that effect now with the fact that he has gone to Philadelphia and managed to find some success there in a sort of a comparable Moneyball environment, if you will, a place where they've tended to do more with less in MLS for quite a while. And meanwhile, in St. Louis, we haven't been able to find that right fit. Now, John Hackworth had some success as the interim last year. There has been some, I don't know if you'd say reports or just rumors, that he potentially wasn't all that interested in getting the job on a full-time basis, that he sees his future in more of a front office executive capacity, and that could be part of the reason, along with just avoiding the jokes and the memes, that City didn't make him the interim again for the second straight midseason coaching change, and instead they're going to go with David Critchley, who's been there since the beginning in the academy. But certainly I think it's possible. That was one of the things, John, that was talked about when Bradley Carnell lost his job, was that there were some questions as to how he was viewed in the locker room that was kind of exacerbated by some of the outgoing departures and maybe some of the things that they did or didn't say about him, and the apparent kind of coming together disagreement that he and Klaus had after full time in Philadelphia when they faced each other. So I think it's fair to say that that can happen, and it might have been part of the reason that Bradley Carnell was pushed out a little bit earlier than I thought the results dictated. It could be part of the reason here, although I think it's harder to say that just because the results have been so poor that it's really difficult for to need to look even beyond the field at all to find a problem, because the field had plenty of them.
How much of this issue with City, because it's not all coaching, obviously, and like you said, he's not been part of the solution. Well, how much of it really is the roster? Because we have talked before about the investment in the roster, which really hasn't been there. At least it doesn't seem so in proportion to the way people in this city have supported that team, sellouts all the time, that it just doesn't seem like the payroll is in proportion to that. Maybe I don't know enough about it, but is that part of the problem?
Definitely. I mean, injuries have been part of the story this year. They were part of the story last year. Everybody has injuries. It's true that City have endured a lot this season. Obviously, on top of that, Edward Luven has had extended absences. That's not explicitly related to injury, but it's sort of in the same bucket. And those kinds of things are unpredictable, and they're not really anybody's fault, or at least certainly they're not the fault of the head coach or the fault of any of the front office brain trust in particular. My concern, and you know, you're trying to get me in trouble again going down this road, because I got myself into, you know, some hot water a couple of years ago. But my contention has been since the very first season in MLS that the investment in the team was disproportionately poor relative to the demands financially that were being placed on the fan base and how the fan base was reacting to or stepping up to those financial requests, if you will. City have been dependably in the bottom two or three in roster spending. It's hurt them in terms of depth. It's also really hurt them in terms of top line quality. For extended periods, they didn't play with the maximum number of designated players allowed, essentially not bringing in the maximum number of star players who don't count against the cap that they could have. I think that was a source of frustration for people. And I got a lot of blowback when I said that at the time, I think because people felt like, oh, we're so glad to have a team. They invested so much in building the stadium, all of that kind of stuff. They didn't want to be critical of ownership, and that's understandable. But I think this club has skated by on starting with five straight wins for a long time.
Yeah.
If they had won only two or three of those games, you're looking at a good but not top of the Western Conference inaugural season, married with a first-round playoff departure and nothing but lousy play over the year and a half since then. And I think the narrative that is now starting to change would have changed a lot earlier. To me, I understand that they paid for the stadium and they paid for the expansion fee, but those are part of the deal. That doesn't mean you don't have to pay anything else. And the bottom line is this has been an extraordinarily well-supported club, selling out game after game after game. And the supporters are paying season ticket prices that are among the highest in the league while seeing a roster that is among the lowest paid in the league. And at some point, either Lutz Vandensteel has to answer for the fact that he hasn't been able to build the roster that he claimed he was going to be able to as efficiently as he thought he was going to be able to, or they have to start spending more money, or both. So that accountability lands right now on a second head coach in as many years. Next, it lands on Lutz Vandensteel, who is going to be allowed probably this head coaching hire, and I imagine no more if this one doesn't work out. And then beyond that, it will ultimately fall on Carolyn Kindle and ownership, because it will be clear then that through a number of different head coaches, through a lot of roster turnover, they haven't been able to make the changes that are required. So either it's finding somebody both on the touchline and in the front office who has more MLS experience and more American soccer experience and getting results that way, or it's investing more money, or it's a combination of those two things. Because look, teams do this when they come into MLS and they have people running things who don't necessarily know the sport, or at least don't know the intricacies of it, because MLS is a complicated, unique league in how the travel works and the Americanness of it all, but most importantly in how the roster building works, how the finances work with the salary caps and the million different player classifications and all the different types of funds that get moved around. It's very difficult, and there are a lot of intricacies that take time to learn. Look at a recent expansion team like FC Cincinnati, who cycled through European leadership, European coaches, until they eventually settled on two Americans, Chris Albright and Pat Noonan, a St. Louisan, as their general manager and head coach, respectively, both of whom had significant MLS experience, understood what it was going to take, not only on the field, but in roster building, how to take advantage of, or at least not get tripped up by, the roster intricacies that exist in Major League Soccer. And I think that would be the next step. City maybe are not there yet. I think it seems like Lutz Fahnenstiel is going to get one more chance to try to get this right. But I think the next step after that would be that Carolyn Kindle has to try something else. And that's either spending money or it's bringing in somebody who has proven that they understand how it works in MLS, not in Europe.
I think I know this. This is the final year of Roman Berkey's contract, the goalkeeper. What's the likelihood of the team re-signing him or the likelihood of him taking a walk?
It's a good question. I think a lot of it will probably depend on how the remainder of this season goes. Because, you know, my understanding has always been that Roman Berkey wanted to be here in MLS and that he was excited about being part of this project at St. Louis City. I think if he, at the end of the year, is encouraged by the direction of the project, feels good about the direction of the team, likes whoever this new head coaching hire is that they might eventually make, I think all of those things could contribute to him staying. There's no question that if he wanted to go back to Europe, he has proven his quality in his three seasons here such that he could go back to Europe and he could make more money, whether that's as a backup goalkeeper at a really big club, as a starter at a mid-tier club. But those options were more or less on the table for him when he came here. He did not come to St. Louis because it was the place where he could make the absolute most money globally. He thought that this was the right fit for him, and it was what he wanted for the next step in his career. Has he scratched the American itch after 3 years, and he's thinking, you know, I could go for getting back in Europe and potentially making more money, playing on a bigger stage, whatever that might be? I think it's very possible, especially because you don't want a dysfunctional club that's trying to sell a guy on taking less money than he could get somewhere else. So at this point, I would guess it's probably 50-50 at best for City that they can keep him. But I think it's very possible that that those odds could be improved, because I think Roman Berkey, especially when things are going well here, has seemed very happy to be here. And even when things have not been going well, he's been one of the most frequent voices who has stepped up and had those difficult leadership conversations that City at times have needed him to have, including publicly, right? He's been probably the most likely City player over these 3 years to step up in a press conference and say, this is not at the level it needs to be, and guys need to play better. This isn't about coaching. It isn't about roster. Our guys just need to play harder and play better. And he is somebody who, with a ton of experience, including at the top levels of the sport, who the dressing room can look to for that sort of criticism. He is, in many ways, beyond being refuted by anyone in that dressing room. And as a result, his voice carries a lot of weight. So hopefully, that's a long way to say I don't know, but hopefully City can get this moving in a direction by the end of the season that encourages Roman Berkey to invest himself yet again in the project.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. Lastly, before we say goodbye here, you said, or you used the term earlier, the salvage the season or save the season. What would that look like?
I think it has to still look like making the playoffs, because now they're out of Open Cup. So one of the ways they could have done that is trying to make a run at winning the U.S. Open Cup, because that's a way to get yourself some kind of trophy out of the season, have a high point, and, you know, there can be value for that. But I don't see any way, no matter what they do the rest of the season, and it's not likely that they're able to salvage some kind of push for the playoffs, right? They're 8 points adrift now. That's not insurmountable by any stretch, but they would need to play dramatically better than they have, you know, not even at a point per game pace. They're only at about a 0.7 of a point per game pace so far this year. That is not going to get it done. But when the owner of the team comes out in a headline in the offseason in big, bold type and says, we're making the playoffs this year, it's tough to say anything but that isn't a failure. Right? I don't see any way around it. Just because they played really bad the first half of the season, if they play kind of better the second half, but they still can't even finish in the top half of the conference and can't fulfill the owner's sweeping mandate and guarantee to make the playoffs that year, I think you still have to label the season a failure no matter what. That's sort of unfair to David Critchley because he's inheriting a less than ideal situation, obviously, and a team that has really, really struggled. But maybe they can get a little new coach boost from him and get a win or two and all of a sudden put themselves in a situation where chasing down those 8 or 9 spots seems a little more realistic. But to me, Chris, it still has to be playoffs or it's a failure. That doesn't mean Coach Critchley can't do anything to make himself a more compelling candidate for the full-time job. It doesn't mean nothing good can happen without making the playoffs. But I think the season overall would still have to be labeled a failure if they can't find a way into that top 9.
Well, let's hope Critchley knows best.
Okay. Oh, it doesn't matter if he, maybe he'll get pardoned. Hey, Nate Gatter, you're the best. Thank you, dude.
Appreciate you, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.